You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there.
I want to believe.
Hi, this is David Duchovny, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby.
Coast to coast to coast, you're listening to Terra Informa. Welcome back to Terra Informa. I'm Shelley Jodwin, and I'll be your host for the next half hour of environmental news from across Canada and around the world. This week is a special episode that was especially fun to make. Sometimes when we have an extra cool story that the whole Terra Informa team is invested in, we all go on a road trip together. This story includes many of your favorite Terra Informers, including myself. A couple of Sundays ago, we traveled to a grain terminal in the city of Edmonton to see some rare birds of prey and the folks who watch and photograph them there.
Three Terra Informers, myself, Carter Gorzitsa, and Charlie Blay, are in a course this semester at the University of Alberta called Wildlife Biodiversity and Ecology. This course is taught by none other than the Edmonton famous naturalist John Acorn. During the bird section of the course, John talked about a place where pigeons congregate and attract birds of prey. We decided that we would go visit this place and bring all those who are listening along in the hopes that maybe you too will be inspired to look a little longer at the variety of birds that live in our skies and observe all of their funny behaviors and characteristics. The place that we visited is a grain terminal that is right in the northwest part of the city in Edmonton, just north of the Yellowhead and bordered by St. Albert Trail and 127th Street. The terminal itself is hard to miss. It's tall and looming and often surrounded by flocks of cooing rock pigeons. The soaring masses of pigeons attract Merlin falcons, prairie falcons, eagles, and the biggest kind of falcon, deer falcons. We were lucky enough to see some Merlins and a prairie falcon that we watched prey on a pigeon. And John Acorn was lucky enough to get dive bombed by a Merlin that was in pursuit of a snack. So, join us on our trip to the Edmonton Grain Terminal, where we spoke to some really nice birders, cracked some jokes, thought about what kind of birds we would like to be, and enjoyed the company of all the birds.
And compared to the ambient temperature around, was on a sunny day about 10 degrees warmer.
Wow.
So the front of the building is actually not only a place where they can sit, but it's also kind of warm. It's like
right.
A cliff. It's like
being
on a real nice cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if you like.
Plus which, it has some food down below when the drain leaks. And the added benefit of birds of prey every day trying to kill your buddies.
Yeah,
kind of
a little excitement,
thrill.
You know? Yeah. You don't want to get too bored just sitting around.
No doubt.
You want to say that again, Shelley?
I'm just watching this. What is it, a falcon? No, really?
Further.
She saw the Merlin falcon ruffle his feathers twice and then poo.
And she's pleased about it.
I've never watched birds like this before.
Yeah.
So I was
it's really
it's doing something interesting. Oh, and it's pooping.
A classic bird thing.
Yep.
Awesome.
I'm Gary.
Gary, I'm Amanda.
I'm Marilyn.
Marilyn. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Are you from Edmonton?
We are.
Nice.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. How do you get into birding, and also how did you find out about this spot?
As far as getting into birding, it's something we've been doing for the last few years, and so it started off with purchasing a camera, and we started off with landscape photography,
mm-hmm.
and then started shooting a few birds, and we found that a little bit more exciting.
Yeah.
And just kind of grew from there.
Awesome, that's cool.
So it grows and grows.
I can kind of see how that can happen. We're taking a class where we're learning about lots of birds with Jean, and it's very infectious.
You
want to know more and more. And birds have pretty cool behavior. This is pretty neat. And it's pretty wild that it's this in the city too.
Yeah.
So have you guys spotted anything remarkable at all today so far?
Well, we just got out here now. So as for today, no.
Mm-hmm.
We did find a snowy owl yesterday out by Toefield that we got some pictures of.
Oh, so was that? That's the.
That was the Merlin.
That was the Merlin. Yeah. Okay. That was the Merlin. Wait, what?
The Merlin just dove at them.
Oh.
I was thinking,
where did it
go?
The dangers of birding.
Go away.
Gonna need a hockey helmet, I think. Probably the other side of it, I think, is just a challenge of the photography. Mm-hmm. Like to try to shoot a bird in flight.
Yeah.
Lots of challenges.
Well, because they're always moving, so, and if you're zoomed in, then it's out of the frame.
Yeah, and being able to pan. Oh, and,
yeah, I can imagine it takes a lot of steady hand and practice.
Yeah.
Practice is a key word there. Yeah.
Yes, lots of practice.
Yeah. And, but it's a lot of fun.
I like to say we're amateurs. He says, no, we're hobbyists.
Hobbyist.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah. We post a little bit on Facebook for our family to see.
Yeah, right.
And we do calendars for ourselves and family.
Oh, nice.
But we typically don't sell stuff.
That's fun.
So. Yeah, so every year at Christmas time we do have a calendar for, you know, me and friends.
That would be kind of nice to, like, pick a bird for the month.
And that's
like,
just it, right? So then you've got to go out and get 12 really, really good shots every year.
Yeah, right. So then it's kind of like I have to get a good picture of this for this month. And, like, yeah, that's, like, a good...
Yeah, it sets your goal.
Yeah, it does.
Year,
that's
right?
A really good way to set your goals. Yeah.
How far do you guys usually, like, venture out from here?
We've gone to BC.
Yes.
Ran into BC.
And down to Waterton.
Waterton.
And up north, Lac-la-Biche,
Bonneville.
So, and that's usually our summer vacation.
That's great.
Nice.
Is tracking birds, chasing them mostly in Alberta.
What's the coolest? What's been some highlights, I guess, so far in your time so far birding?
Well, pelicans. First time we saw a pelican. Didn't realize we even had them in Alberta. But
I didn't know that we have them in Alberta either.
In fact, we see them in Edmonton here at Jackie Parker Park. Every summer they come in here.
Cool. So wait, where is that?
That's just off the White Mud and 50th Street.
Oh, that?
Of course. Okay. There's a park in there with a playground and there's a little man-made lake.
Yeah.
And they come in there.
That's cool.
But in there, I mean, we've seen pelicans, the great blue heron. The black-crowned night herons nest in the trees there.
Oh.
When they have their babies and they first come out on it, they're so ugly. But so cute at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then when the parents come in to feed them, it sounds like Jurassic Park.
Oh my gosh.
You have to go. You have to listen to it.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
And then sometimes what we'll do is if we go out there, we're going to set up for an afternoon. We'll take a telescope with us.
Mm-hmm.
So it sits on a tripod. So if people actually want to have a look across onto the island, they can get a good close-up look at the birds.
So it's a small telescope that we use for birding.
Oh, that's cool.
So part of the fun is also just sharing it with people as well. You don't have the opportunity to see stuff.
Definitely. And I think, before I took this class, I was like, oh, it's a bird.
Yes.
But once you kind of, know what you're looking at and, that gives them a little bit more of a personality, and then you're like, oh, there's that bird.
Even, yesterday, I mean, it was just a house sparrow or whatever, but I was like, oh, I was sitting eating breakfast at a window seat, and I was like, oh, I know what that bird is.
Yeah.
And normally
cool,
I'd just be
it?
Like, oh, it's it's a little bird.
That's okay,
but,
because once you get doing it a lot, you start naming them.
Yeah.
Now you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
When you start naming the birds, you're hooked, aren't you?
Yeah.
We do that with the geese.
Oh.
Especially the babies.
Yeah.
Every year there's something different about one or two of them, and then you start
and then you can pick out the differences between them.
We name some of the woodpeckers that come to our yard a little bit. I saw a northern flicker yesterday. It was
pretty.
They're beautiful.
You don't get that one as much.
I think a highlight last year was the first time we saw a wood duck. We were down at Inglewood in Calgary.
So wait, what's a wood duck?
Colorful.
Oh, okay.
That's the only way I can explain a really, really colorful duck.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we had done a road trip there was about half a dozen of us that went down there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a great time. And the goal was to get the wood duck because we hadn't seen him yet.
Yeah, and then you did it. So did that end up in your calendar then?
It'll be in the next one.
Yeah. Good. Awesome. That's great. A wood duck is I guess it's a duck.
He's a regular duck.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a little smaller than the average duck.
Mm-hmm.
And his colors are just brilliant.
Huh.
Such a different And typically we don't see them this far north.
Right.
I think people have seen them as far as red deer, as far as I know, but usually not beyond that.
Yeah, they don't come this far north.
Under normal circumstances.
No.
Climate change?
Another decade, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. True, eh? And they look like they're just a wooden duck,
like a decorative duck.
Yes.
Yeah. You're like, maybe that's plastic. Someone put it in the lake.
Yeah.
Oh.
But they're real.
So are these rock pigeons?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah. So Charlie, what's the scientific name?
Ooh, I'm learning that later today. I'm not there yet.
Olivia.
Yeah.
So Amanda, did you see when that sparrow banged off my face?
No, I didn't. I wasn't looking.
Ooh, it ricocheted off my face.
Yeah. It was a sparrow that did that?
Yeah. Oh, there's the prairie falcon.
Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh.
See it?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
You can tell, like, the pigeons are kind of...
Oh, yeah.
They do not want to get caught.
No. They're just flying.
Yeah. It's just up and down. Oh, man. From... here, it doesn't look like it's that much bigger than the pigeons.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, oh, oh. Did it catch one? I think it did.
I'm not sure.
Oh.
Okay, it did, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now, something's happening on the other side of the cookie factory. And the question is, will the eagle come in and steal it? That's what the eagle's
doing. Right, that's what you're saying, yeah.
And we saw the two eagles here earlier.
That's funny, because you'd think that the eagles would have the guts to go and get their own pigeon.
Maybe they're lazy. Yeah,
they're lazy.
Yeah.
I guess it's
let the falcons do the hard work.
They can't fly
yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
They can't fly enough to get the pigeons.
We've gotten pictures of the bald eagle and osprey fighting. Osprey catches the food, the bald eagle
will take it.
Steal it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Good, we got him.
And all the pigeons are going back to their spots.
Yeah, they're like, okay.
Yeah. It's
farewell,
amazing.
Fred.
Yeah.
But we'll say a little prayer in his name and
lost the game
be glad it wasn't us.
A million partners.
That's what we were saying, A.D., that you were watching through the binoculars, so you had such a better view of than those of us who were trying to find it
in the
camera.
Track them.
Yeah.
They sure made some nice dives, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm so glad you guys got to see that.
Yeah, me too. That was awesome.
It's just amazing the way the pigeons kind of group and regroup and split.
Yeah. It is very, like, kind of relaxing in, like, a sick way.
Yeah, right.
It's relaxing if you're not a pigeon.
Yeah.
Mesmerizing. It's just a mesmerizing, beautiful thing.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. So what kind of falcon was that took down the pigeon?
Prairie falcon.
It's a prairie falcon. Yeah. Okay.
And it's not easy to tell, but it has dark wing pits.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yesterday there were two prairie falcons, so we're probably, you know, who knows if this is the same bird that Dave and I saw earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then there's also been an immature deer falcon.
Okay.
As well.
Yeah, I remember you talking about the deer falcons.
Yeah,
they're the biggest ones,
the
right?
biggest falcon in the world.
Yeah. Oh, in the world?
Yeah.
Ooh. So do they actually, since they're big, they still catch the pigeons on their own, right? They're not,
yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, it's the pigeon stealing thing, like the deer falcon will steal a pigeon from the prairie falcon, and sometimes the ravens will gang up on the falcons and steal the pigeons.
Right.
And sometimes the ravens steal the pigeons from the deer falcons. Last year, our friend Dawn saw the deer falcon turn around and just... kill a raven and eat it.
Oh.
It's really intense.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, that is intense.
That would be cool.
Survival of the fittest. Yeah.
So a woodpecker fighting a squirrel?
Yeah, in our yard. Well, there wasn't a lot of contact, but they were circling
That's
each
funny.
Other, and he was flapping his wings at the squirrel. It was pretty cool, like on the ground.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's all about the ecological narratives, like, you know, like, you can learn, like, all the different parts of the bird and whatever, but, like, you know, it's all just, we have to learn the names so that we can tell the stories, because otherwise...
Yeah. And put, like, a personality to the birds.
Yeah. Yeah, you can have a great narrative, but if you don't know the names of the birds, you can't, you know.
Yeah, right next to them.
Where did you guys go?
We went over there.
Oh, onto the other side. Pictures. Oh, okay, cool.
Did you see the...
No.
We saw, like, the birds freak out.
Yeah.
We were like, wow, because they flew, like, all the way over to us. Over
yeah.
There.
Yeah, they were all above
also,
us.
Also, this is a gluten-free cookie factory.
Oh, that's really funny.
To the grain terminal. Yeah.
There's probably airborne, like,
that actually
cross-contamination.
Yeah, I was like, it's something green.
Gluten-free.
This is the real story.
Yeah.
How is this gluten-free factory guaranteeing gluten-freeness? We have no evidence to support this, but there may be pigeon droppings and gluten in cookies.
That's why they taste so bad.
It's not the gluten. Free, yeah.
You guys know that this terminal was built like in the 1920s.
Oh, that's really.
Apparently, the inside is like super modern, and the outside is like 1920s.
Yeah,
that's funny. Yeah, because well, that's weird. You see all the weird pipes going into the windows and stuff.
Yeah,
like, you can't imagine they did that from the beginning.
I didn't even realize like grain terminal. Like, I don't know why. I don't know. I know it's a thing, but
yeah,
it just like seems like an old thing, like to have a grain, the old grain terminal. I don't know. I don't know.
Everyone's like, what are they putting in the train?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Because there's not people.
Yeah.
Like,
well, but you know, but trains are way more energy efficient than trucks.
Definitely.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Almost no friction. And
yeah. So. And I mean, less a little less disastrous, I feel like. Yeah.
It's just cool, like, I don't know, like, how there's some of the old technology is still the best technology.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
A lot of the big locomotives that you see are, you know, they're also really high-tech, and they've been engineered, so to speak, to be really energy efficient.
Cool.
So the, you know, the Evolution series engines that are the main ones you see here are remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just remarkably good.
Yeah.
The pigeons would come down. I love the pigeons. They're so pretty.
Yeah.
If you really look at them, they are such a pretty bird. They've got such beautiful colors to them.
Yeah. And they're all like a little bit different, I find,
they
like
are.
When you start looking at the individual coloring and stuff. Yeah.
They're gorgeous.
I think we definitely write off pigeons really easily.
Yeah, well, you know, they're around.
They're everywhere,
but,
and you're like,
people don't really look at them, right?
Well, that's
like,
true, you know, eh?
Yeah.
But if you actually sit and look at, especially when the sun hits them, and the iridescent colors, it's just, oh my God, they're beautiful.
It's kind of like magpies too.
Right?
As a matter of fact, I was at work one day, and there was a guy from Manitoba that I was talking to, and he says, you know, he says, I was out there visiting Edmonton. You guys have one of the most beautiful birds in the world. And I'm like, what's that? And he goes, we don't get them here. They're a black and white bird. He says, they got a really long tail, and I'm not sure what they're called. I said, you mean magpie? That's the one. He says.
That's so funny.
Oh, dear, really? Yeah, it's funny how we become used to, you know, certain birds. And
yeah, you just kind of block it out. Like
same thing with a robin, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a robin.
Yeah. And also, like, Bohemian waxwings, I didn't realize.
Oh,
I've never looked
so
at them before.
Cool.
And I was
I still haven't seen one, I don't think.
I just wish I'd seen that crazy Merlin hunt where the sparrow bounced off my face.
Yeah, you just look away for a second and it's amazing how much you can miss.
You guys saw that happen?
No?
We just heard it.
No.
I like saw the bird come down, right? Like.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yeah, well,
okay.
I saw the kind of
like
wings there. Like, I right at the same time I think you did. I saw it and I was like, what is it?
Did you guys know about the prairie falcon that was injured?
No.
Okay, so me and another photographer out here, prairie falcon, I think the wind caught it, hit the building.
Ooh.
And it landed right over there.
Ooh.
Came down.
Yeah.
I didn't think it broke its wing because it glided down, but it actually broke it right at the wrist, so the wing didn't flop down.
Ooh. Yeah.
So that's the prairie.
Oh.
Oh, so would he like recover from that, or
they're gonna send her to a breeder? She's done.
Right.
She'll never hunt again.
Yeah. Right. And then So what happens when they go when they send the bird to a breeder? What would that kind of entail?
Just bred.
Okay. Yeah, and then. So. What do they do with the baby falcons?
They send them to hack sites and...
And your name's Aaron, is what I call it? Awesome. Yeah. Cool. How long have you been kind of looking at birds?
2 years.
2 years? Yeah. How'd you get into it?
Because I had all my camera gear and I was like, I wasn't taking any pictures. And I was actually not so much interested in birds per se, as in subject matter.
Right.
But because... I'm like that when I take photographs. You know, I go and find out what I'm looking at. You take a picture of that, go, is this thing? Like, I would shoot more other wildlife, but birds are available everywhere.
They are.
Yeah.
You don't have to leave.
Yeah. And in the daytime.
Yeah.
John's
you're not sneaking through the woods trying to find.
Like at night.
Yeah. The most underrated bird here are those pigeons.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
I don't know how many times I've watched a pigeon come in thinking it's going to be a red splotch on the side of the building.
Yeah.
You know, because it's got a maniacal tailwind. And they'll come barreling in out of control and you think, oh, it's going to hit the building. It flares out. Boom.
That's funny. You know,
I've yet to see a pigeon crash into the building.
That's surprising. You think of them as so stupid, too.
And they kind of, they look a little stupid.
They do.
They've got like that eye.
Oh, he's coming in.
Have this.
Oh, Merlin just took off and Merlin...
So, John, I'm just curious, when you're taking notes, what kind of things would you take down?
Well, you know, years and years ago, about 2000, or I think maybe 2001, two local guys, Dick Decker, who was like a real falcon expert, and Jim Lang, Jim worked here in the rail yard, and he was the first guy to notice the falcons hunting here, they put together a bunch of observations and they published a paper on the hunting success of prairie falcons and deer falcons here, you know, based on two or three birds. And so I thought, well, why don't I take the same kind of notes? So we haven't published them yet, but so I've got notes about, you know, whenever anything happens, like, you know, a bird shows up or a bird hunts or whether it's successful or not, I write it down. So now I have like hundreds and hundreds of hours of observation that we can publish and say, yeah, you know, those guys, they got the right pattern, or maybe, you know, maybe their birds were a little bit better at hunting or a little bit less good than the average over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So
cool.
Yeah, just, you know, it won't be earth-shattering, but it'll be a good contribution.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, how would you know?
So. Right. There.
Oh, yeah, right there.
Uh-oh. Oh, big crop. She's full. She's not interested.
Yeah, yeah. You can actually
see. Yeah, you can see the big crop on her.
Yeah.
What was that?
That's the one that
the prairie falcon.
That's the prairie falcon that ate the pigeon.
Oh, it's hefty.
You can see, it's hefty.
You can just see like the pigeon. So I guess the eagle didn't come to take it away.
To take it away. Yeah. There you go.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Merlin
just has it just gone.
He flew down. We saw him fly down, and then
it is a he.
Oh, sure. See. Good.
Yeah, because he has bluish on the back, sort of blue gray. The females are more brownish on the back.
Okay.
So we could tell that guy was a Merlin. We're just guessing about the.
Yeah, and John was saying it's a little rare for males to come here because they're a little bit smaller than the females, and that means that there's probably less chance that they'll actually like successfully
get a pigeon.
Yeah.
To, like, avoid
if you could be any bird, what would you be?
I really do like magpies.
Yeah.
Like, I was a magpie for Halloween.
Oh yeah, you were a magpie for Halloween.
Yeah.
<That's>
so cute.
Right.
I made like wings out of like felt and feather boas.
Yeah. I love that. That's awesome.
He's also very moral.
Haley, what kind of bird would you be if you were a bird?
I think I would be like a hummingbird because people make special feeders just for them. I feel so special when people use their hummingbird feeders like no other bird. It's not like the communal like bird seed. Like, I'm
Yeah,
but you like
special.
Barely would have feet though.
That would be bad. I barely have feet now.
Yeah, that's true. And you're small too, actually. Yeah.
All the time. You have to eat all the time.
Shelly, what kind of bird would you be if you were a bird?
I don't know anything about birds. What are the birds in Mockingjay? I'd be a Mockingjay. Because they can sing and mimic and things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean a mockingbird.
Well, no, I know it's not a real bird, but she could still be a mockingjay.
Wrong.
I told you I don't know anything about birds.
It's actually
gotta be like that.
Carter, what bird?
Yeah, so Carter, what bird would you be?
I would be a prairie chicken.
Yeah,
because
that sounds about right.
Even in the face of danger, they stay still, and I think it's really funny. I mean,
so do you identify with the prairie chicken?
I do.
You also don't have any self-preservation instinct?
I feel like I'm...
Oh, no.
I'm like at the face of danger, and be like, I need a nap.
John, what kind of bird would you be?
Well,
you
know, I was asked that question just yesterday. You know, something that flies nicely. So, you know, these falcons fly nicely, but the pigeons fly nicely, too. And I think it would just be really neat to experience those kind of...
Tufted titmouse, just because I like the name.
Yeah. Well, they're kind of little and cute.
Yeah, they're cute birds.
So, Amanda, I don't know if you answered this, but if you could be
anyone, we
don't do any warranty.
Charlie suggested a shrike, and you know, I think I'm going to take it because I think it's pretty cool that they're so small and they just impale stuff on stuff. Yeah. Better watch out, guys. Yeah. I might impale you upon some thorns or barbed wire. What are you seeing, Charlie?
Oh, we're just talking about going out looking for owls.
Oh, yeah.
John went out yesterday and found. Six snowy owls.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Two short-eared owls and then eight great horned owls.
Cool. Yeah. Eight great horned owls.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
So.
That's a lot.
Pretty good day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll have to be the next adventure.
And look for owls, yeah.
That was Amanda Rooney and Taryn Forma's field trip to a grain terminal to see some birds of prey. If you want to hear even more stories like that, check out our website at terrainforma.ca, and while you're there, look for the survey tab in the menu. We would love to get to know you, our listeners, and what you enjoy about the show. Your input can influence the content we gather over the next year. Also, upon completing the survey, you can enter a draw for the chance to win the opportunity to host Terrainforma like we are right now with us in Edmonton. If you're from another city, no problem. You can still co-host from afar. Speaking of co-hosting, have you ever wanted to be on the radio? Terrainforma is recruiting. If you want to join our team and share your stories, check out the About Us tab on terrainforma.ca. Next up, we have a segment of What's Happening. If you're in Edmonton this week, check out Green Drinks, the Green Economy. Green Drinks is a gathering of Edmonton's green-minded professionals to meet new friends, network, and indulge in a local brew. This event takes place at the Yellowhead Brewery on Wednesday, March 1st. Featured guests include Heather Spears, the project coordinator for McEwen University's Social Innovation Hub project, and Mark Anielski, an economic strategist specializing in measuring well-being and happiness, and also an award-winning author of The Economics of Happiness, Building Genuine Wealth, and several others. Get more info on eventbrite.com, and that link is on our website. Also in Edmonton, check out the Aboriginal Law Speaker Series hosted by the University of Alberta's Aboriginal Law Students Association. This series starts March 6th with Ariel Duranger, who we've had the pleasure of interviewing on Terrainforma about Alberta Indigenous peoples and the climate crisis. This speaker series is free, and more information can be found on the Facebook event. You can also find that link on our website. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Terrainforma is a production of CJSR 88.5 FM in Edmonton on Treaty 6 territory. If you have any questions or comments, send us an email to terra@cjsr.com or tweet it at Terrainforma. Visit us at terrainforma.ca and subscribe on iTunes. Thanks this week to our contributors, Amanda Rooney for the story and Tasmia Nishad for production. I've been your host, Shelley Jodwin. Catch you next week.
Cooperatives and Mutuals Canada is honored to host the annual CMC Congress from June 10 to June 12 at the Hotel Saskatchewan in Regina, Saskatchewan. Under this year's theme, The Future is Co-op, join us for thought-provoking plenaries and participate in interactive workshops and breakout sessions. To learn more or register, please visit www.canada.coop now.